Hello, and welcome to the Caving Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Pelser, and this is episode one. This is an idea that I've had for a long time. I love podcasts, and I love caving, and, there's a podcast for everything, right? So I thought, surely there's a caving podcast. I went looking around for it and didn't find one. So I thought, well, let's do it. First of all, what is caving? If you're listening to this show, you probably already know what caving is, but just for someone who's just stumbled upon this podcast, caving, as defined by Wikipedia, is also traditionally known as spelunking in the United States, and us cavers know that spelunking sort of has a negative connotation, is the recreational pastime of exploring wild cave systems, generally non-commercial cave systems. And so that's what caving is, crawling around in caves, exploring caves. A little bit about me. I am a member of the Central Indiana Grotto of the National Speleological Society, a great organization. It's a grotto that's been around for well over 60 years. We have an annual event called Cave Capers. It's in early August. And it's usually somewhere down in cave country in southern Indiana. And it's a great event. And if you've got some travel time that you can take in early August to come down to Cave Capers, we have some great caves in southern Indiana, over 3,000 caves in Indiana. And you should come down and hang out. I thought I could start this caving podcast because I'm not really a hardcore caver, but I am a caver. I love doing it, but I don't go all the time. I thought I could start this show because I have a background in radio. I've been doing radio for 15 plus years. I've been on the air full time for more than 10 years. I've been doing radio a lot longer than I've been caving. Admittedly, I've only been caving for about 6 years. I got into it in 2010. I don't go to all the conventions. I'll go to our Cave Capers. I have to miss it this year. I mean, and I don't even make all the grotto meetings. I go to our executive board meetings for our grotto, and I'll go to the grotto meetings when I can, but I don't make every single one of them. And maybe you don't either. And like I said, I'm an occasional caver. I'm a hobby caver. I don't really go that often to caves where I've never been before. And on those trips, I'm never the leader. I've never been on any project or survey trips. I've never done anything like that. But I love hearing from guys who have, and gals, of course. I'm just trying to be realistic here with my cred. But I will say this, that I love talking to cavers. I've been on trips with hardcore cavers, and there's something about the stories. I never want them to end because it's like caving vicariously, you know? I don't get to go very often, but when I go to a grotto meeting and hang out with some of those guys, or if I go on a trip with some of those guys, and even though we're caving, if they're telling a story, it's like I'm caving elsewhere. It's the greatest. And so I thought if there's a podcast where we could do that, that would be excellent. And so that's what I'm trying here. And I hope you'll come back. My very first trip was a trip down in southern Indiana with Paul Uglum, who is a great resource for beginner cavers in Indiana. If you want to be introduced to some of the Indiana classics, Paul is he's your guy. My first cave was Sullivan Cave in southern Indiana, and I've done the other classics. You know, I've done Buckner Cave. If you've ever gone caving in Indiana, or if you went to IU in the 80s and 90s, and somehow you're a caver, you've probably been to Buckner. It's kind of a cave that's been trashed, and then cleaned up. It's really kind of an amazing story. It's a really cool cave. And we'll actually, I'm going to play a piece that I made on Buckner. It's about 5 minutes long. Just a quick overview on Buckner, and even non-cavers could appreciate it. At least I hope. So stick around for that. I've gone vertical caving. I've been to TAG a couple of times. I actually just got back from TAG a few weekends ago. Did Natural Well, and I did Conley Hole. Oh, my God, that was gorgeous. And I've also done Flowing Stone down in TAG, which was one of the coolest trips one of the coolest places, period, I've ever been. I'm into it. I just don't do it nearly as often as I would like. I know guys who go every weekend. I know project cavers in Indiana, survey guys. I've had numerous opportunities to go caving with the likes of Dave Everton, who used to lead the Binkley project, the big survey going on in southern Indiana. It's the longest cave in Indiana, 40-plus miles and growing. There are so many leads that are blowing air, and it's really, really exciting what's going on down there with Binkley Cave. But I never took any of those opportunities with Dave, and now he's, like I said, he's no longer leading that charge. He's got a band that he's really enjoying, and he's kind of taking a break from it. He still goes caving. I know guys who just go recreational caving and just hit up the usual spots like me. I know guys who go on digs every other weekend, guys who ridge walk. You know, I've been on trips with some of these people, and I want to talk to all of them on this show. If it's your first time listening, not every show is going to be like this. I'm not just going to be blabbing for minutes on end. The goal of this show is to bring cavers on and have a talk with them and, you know, hear some great stories. Here's what I'm thinking. We'll put this show out maybe once a month. And if we get a lot of subscribers and maybe a high rating on iTunes, maybe we'll go up to every 2 weeks, maybe even weekly if we're feeling crazy. You, the audience, are going to dictate this. You're going to dictate the frequency of the show. I've got a busy personal and professional life. So I don't intend on taking up all of my time with this show, but I got to tell you, I've looked forward to doing this show. So if I know people want to hear it, I'll put it out more often. One thing that I like to talk to cavers about is what caving does for them. And I'd love to share what it does for me. Caving is, I mean, it's something really interesting and hardcore that not many people do. I love to talk to non-cavers about caving, hoping that maybe they'd be like, I'd love to do that sometime. And I've been successful with that. I've taken my sisters-in-law caving, and I've turned one of them into an eager caver. Whenever I'm going on a trip, she seems down to go. My wife loves to vertical cave. She doesn't really like the horizontal trips, but she loves to go on vertical trips. The first time we did a vertical trip, she was a total badass. You remember the first time you were ever on the lip and about to go down? The first time. I'm talking the first time you ever did it. Remember how scared you were? At least I was. And when my wife did it, she's like, yeah, whatever, zip, and then just went down, and it was like, oh my God, I married a total badass. And so that's pretty cool. It's something interesting that not a lot of people do. And frankly, it's so hardcore that it's really something to be proud of. Like, I'm proud of myself for being able to do this. So many people can't. So many people are claustrophobic, which is an irrational fear, but it is a fear that takes over, and it's a fear that you need to respect. I mean, you can't badger someone into caving if they're claustrophobic. You just can't do it. It's not cool to do. But I'm glad that I'm not and that I can do it. And you should be proud, too. And I think the biggest thing that caving has done for me, and this has affected my whole life, I used to be afraid of stuff. I used to be apprehensive, if afraid is too strong a word, just apprehensive as a result of fear to really do anything. And now I've got like no fear. And I attribute a lot of that to caving, because whenever I'm presented with something that's a little scary, I think I've crawled for a quarter mile on my belly in pitch black. I've done that. I've gone through 40-foot bathtubs. You know, I've rappelled 230 feet down into a cave on a rope. I've done all of that stuff. Why is this scary? Why is this career opportunity scary? Or why is this new friendship scary? You know, jump in, be fearless. And I attribute a lot of my newfound fearlessness. Again, I've only been caving for 6 years. I attribute a lot of that to caving. Caving has showed me that there's a lot less in this world that is scary. It's only scary if you make it scary in your head. And I think that that's a powerful thing, that if more people went caving, maybe we'd all be a little less afraid. Who am I going to talk to initially on this show? Probably Indiana cavers. I'm in Indiana. I'm in Indianapolis. I know a lot of great cavers from Indiana. And so that's probably who I'm going to talk to initially. I'd love to get in touch with people out of state. There's some great cavers in Kentucky and Ohio. I don't know any guys from Illinois, but I mean, I'd love to talk to you. Not a lot of caves in Michigan, but I know there's some cavers up there. So I'd love to talk to them. And, you know, I'm talking regional here, but I would love to branch out. I don't have a lot of travel budget, so it'd be hard for me to come to you if you're not in this sort of Midwestern region that I'm in right now. But there are other ways we could do it. We could talk on the phone. I just want to hear some great stories from some cavers who are eager to tell them. That's who I want to talk to. But initially, it's probably going to be a lot of Indiana guys. And we got a lot of cool stories. So if you're not from Indiana or you're not familiar with any Indiana cavers or caves, tune in. We've got some cool places. I got some trips coming up, too. I've got my birthday is coming up, and there's a trip that the Central Indiana Grotto is going to do to a cave that's kind of been in a weird status lately. You know, with the white nose syndrome and those kinds of issues, there are some caves on some public owned land that are closed in Indiana. And there's a cave classic in Indiana called Salamander Cave. You've been to Salamander? It's gorgeous, huge. And it's got a lot of history. And it's got some good history and it's got some dark history. It's a really cool place. I'm going to go there. Like I said, I got back from TAG recently. I want to go back to Buckner. I love going to Buckner. It's just a classic. I've been there, you know, a dozen times, and I love going back every time I go. So that's me. And that's the Caving Podcast. And I really hope you'll come back. I hope you'll subscribe. I will say this. The first episode that's not this one will be Ron Adams. You know Ron? You know Ron? Look at you. You're grinning like from ear to ear. Ron Adams is he's a crazy caver. He's one of the nicest guys. He's super laid back. You'll know what I'm talking about when you hear the show. And if you know Ron, you're already looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to talk to Ron Adams. He's been to Lechuguilla. He's been every cave in Indiana. He's been down to TAG numerous times. He's done Ellison's once a year. He goes to Mexico every year. He's nuts. I love the guy. And he is going to be the first episode. So subscribe to the show and we'll hear from Ron Adams next time. And if you want to get a hold of me, here's how you can do that. Either you want to come on the show or you want to suggest somebody to come on the show or maybe suggest a topic or say, hey, I love the show. Keep doing it. Or, hey, you know, we love it here in wherever. I would love to hear from you. And from experience that I have in doing podcasts, you can say your email address as many times as you want and no one's going to email. I challenge you to be an engaged community. I know cavers. You guys, we want to talk caving. And so engage with me. I'm going to give you my personal email address. I didn't create an email address just for this show. I'm going to give you my personal email address. And if you email me right now, I will get this message right now delivered and it will show up on my screen on my phone and I will read it immediately. So here is my personal email address. It is alpineproductions@gmail.com. What's up with that email address? I don't know. When I was in college, I thought I would start a production company called Alpine Productions. And I don't know. I've kept it ever since. Alpine, like the mountain range, productions@gmail.com. Let me know who you'd like to hear on the show. Maybe you'd like to come on the show. If you do email me about that, tell me a little bit about your background or the person you're nominating to come on the show. Or, you know, maybe trips you've taken, maybe what you'd like to cover if you want to come on the show, and just shoot me an email. Thanks a lot. Here is a piece that I made on Buckner Cave, which is the wild cave in Indiana. If you've been caving in Indiana, this is probably where you went. And thank you for listening to the Caving Podcast. I'm Matt Pelser. Until next time, kill nothing but time. If you're seeking an adventure, an intense workout, and an extreme test of your wits, you'll find it in one of Indiana's over 3,000 caves. Indiana is known for its limestone, and where there's limestone, you're likely to find caves. Caves can be dangerous if you're unprepared or inexperienced, but there's no shortage of friendly, experienced cavers in Indiana willing to lead you through their sinuous passages. Perhaps the most famous wild cave in Indiana, that is, a cave that's undeveloped for tourism, is Buckner Cave, just one of many beneath the ridges surrounding the Garrison Chapel Valley, just southwest of Bloomington, an area famous for its high concentration of caves, many of them several miles long. Here's a recording of Buckner's waterfall passage, which is one of the deepest parts of the cave. Buckner Cave was first surveyed back in the 1950s. Since then, it's seen hundreds of thousands of curious visitors through its over 3 miles of passages. Many of the visitors in the 80s and 90s were actually college students from nearby Indiana University, looking for a weekend adventure. Over time, Buckner gained a reputation as a party cave, resulting in careless vandalism, lots of garbage, and even a few rescues. But since the property was taken over by the National Speleological Society in 2005, a massive cleanup effort has managed to remove much of the graffiti and literally tons of trash left behind by decades of unfettered access to Buckner Cave. Today, access is far more restricted, but the cave still hosts dozens of visitors per week. The entrance to Buckner Cave is a collapsed sinkhole about 20 feet wide that leads back through a huge entrance room and then to a small hole just big enough for one person at a time. Now, if your hands are sweating just hearing that, perhaps caving is not for you. But if you can will yourself through the first 20 feet of tight belly crawl, the rest of the cave shouldn't be a problem. Buckner Cave is unique in that it has a circle route, which most visitors prefer to take. With most caves, you go in and then back out the way you came. Here, the only backtracking you have to do is to go back through the crawlway on your way out. This cave is a great beginner's cave because it's got a little bit of everything, from big rooms to tight crawls, even a few short drops. The tightest squeeze along the circle route is one where you can choose to see another part of the cave. Once you pinch through the squeeze, you can either finish the circle route or go through another tight squeeze and up into what's called the volcano room.
Here we are in the volcano room. Remember those party cavers I told you about? This was their hangout. The volcano room is a huge, dry, upper-level passage with flat floors and wide open spaces. And the party cavers of the 80s and 90s would go the opposite way along the circle route and just squeeze up into the volcano room to open their coolers and irresponsibly trash the place. Today, this volcano room is closer to its natural state. The vast majority of the trash has been removed, and a lot of the graffiti too, but much of the graffiti still remains intentionally as a reminder of the cave's infamous past.
Toward the end of the circle route, you'll find the L.V. Cushing Room. This room got its name from the historic signature found on a rock when the cave was first surveyed that said, L.V. Cushing, 1775. Don't bother looking for that signature today, though. Back in the party days, the L.V. Cushing Room was known as the Signature Room, and it was where many partygoers spray-painted their names and whatever other messages they wished to express, vulgar or otherwise. As a result, the historic L.V. Cushing signature was lost to memory. In more recent years, the wall in the L.V. Cushing Room in Buckner Cave has been sandblasted, removing almost a quarter inch of spray paint in some places. Just beyond the L.V. Cushing Room, the circle route comes to an end, and the long entrance crawl leads you back out into the sunshine. If you get a chance to visit Buckner Cave, be prepared for a physical and mental challenge. For many experienced cavers, Buckner was one of their first caves and the genesis of a hobby that is exhausting but extremely fulfilling. If you'd like to visit Buckner Cave, you'll need a guide. Talk to one of Indiana's seven grottos. A grotto is like a local chapter of the National Speleological Society. You can find more information at BucknerCave.org. I'm Matt Pelser.